All right, everyone, get ready for this deep dive.
Right.
We're going into the crazy world of trademark law today, and we're going to be talking about a case that's just wild. It's hilarious, but it's also super important for this area of law.
Mm.
We're talking about Louis Vuitton versus Hot Diggity Dog, you know, that whole Chewy Vuitton thing.
Yeah, this case is like the ultimate David versus Goliath story. You've got this huge luxury fashion giant like Louis Vuitton going after a small company that makes dog toys. It's a total legal showdown.
I know, right? It's wild. We're talking about those plush dog toys that are like a total parody of those super recognizable Louis Vuitton handbags.
Mm.
But instead of the classic LV logo, they've got CV for Chewy Vuitton. And the price difference. Oh my gosh, you could buy like a dozen Chewy Vuitton toys for the price of a single Louis Vuitton bag.
And that's a really key point. You know, that massive price difference shows that there's basically no chance anyone would be confused about what they were buying. No one's picking up a Chewy Vuitton toy and thinking they just scored a real Louis Vuitton.
So if everyone knew it was a joke, why did Louis Vuitton even bother to sue?
Well, they kind of went all in and threw everything they had at Hot Diggity Dog. We're talking trademark infringement, trademark dilution, even copyright infringement. Their main argument was that even though Chewy Vuitton was meant to be a parody, it was still using their famous trademarks to make money and could hurt their brand.
Okay, so let's break down those legal arguments one by one. First up, trademark infringement. There's a specific test for that, right?
Absolutely. It's called the likelihood of confusion test. And it's all about whether an average person would be confused about who made the product or if the two companies are connected. The courts look at a bunch of things when they apply this test. Like how strong the original trademark is, how similar the products are, what the infringer was trying to do, and whether anyone was actually confused in real life.
So in this case, it's pretty clear that Louis Vuitton has crazy strong trademarks that everyone knows. But the products are totally different, right? We're talking fancy handbags versus dog toys. And like we said, no one was actually confused about who made what.
Right. And that's where the whole parody defense comes in. To be protected legally, a parody has to do a tricky balancing act. It needs to clearly be referencing the original thing, but it also has to be different enough that people get it's a joke or commentary. The court decided that Chewy Vuitton did a good job of staying on that line.
So basically, making a chew toy that pokes fun at Louis Vuitton's handbags was enough to tell people, hey, this isn't the real deal. But what about their argument about trademark dilution?
Okay, so that's where things get even more interesting. Trademark dilution goes beyond just stopping people from being confused. It's about protecting a brand's reputation and image, even when there's no direct competition. Like you said, no one's mistaking the dog toy for the handbag, but Louis Vuitton was still worried about their brand being tarnished.
So, like, how does trademark dilution work? I mean, what are they trying to protect?
Well, there are two main types of dilution: blurring and tarnishment.
Okay, so what's blurring?
Imagine if you started seeing Chewy Vuitton all over the place. Would it make you less likely to automatically think of Louis Vuitton when you see their real logo? That's blurring. The idea is that a similar mark could weaken the power of a famous trademark over time.
So the court had to decide if Chewy Vuitton was actually hurting Louis Vuitton's brand power?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might surprise you to hear that the court said no. They actually argued that the parody might have made Louis Vuitton even stronger because it showed just how iconic and well-known their designs are. It's like Hot Diggity Dog was basically admitting that Louis Vuitton is a huge deal by making fun of him.
Hold on. So you're saying that parody can actually make a brand more popular? That doesn't seem like it would normally happen.
It is kind of counterintuitive, right? But this case shows that courts are starting to recognize that parodies can play a role in cementing a brand's place in our culture. They can become a part of the conversation.
So what about tarnishment? Did Louis Vuitton argue that these dog toys could damage their reputation?
They did. They brought up the idea that dog toys are chew toys, so they could be a choking hazard, and that negative association could hurt their brand. But the court didn't buy it. They said Louis Vuitton didn't have any real evidence that Chewy Vuitton was actually damaging their image. It was all speculation.
Okay, so no trademark infringement, no dilution. But I remember they also tried to claim copyright infringement too, right?
Yeah, they did, but that argument didn't go very far. The court basically said the dog toy designs were different enough from the real Louis Vuitton handbags that it wasn't copyright infringement.
So it sounds like a big win for the little guy.
Totally. This case was a huge victory for Hot Diggity Dog. And maybe even more importantly, it set a really important legal example for how parody works in trademark law.
So help us understand what this means for everyone else, especially lawyers and law students. What are the big takeaways from this case?
Well, if you look at the bigger picture, it shows that humor and satire can exist alongside strong trademark rights. Parody can be legal as long as it's clear, doesn't confuse anyone, and doesn't actually hurt the original brand's reputation.
So if someone wants to make a parody product, what are the most important things they should think about to stay out of trouble?
The biggest thing is to make sure everyone knows it's a parody. It shouldn't trick anyone into thinking it's a real product from the original brand. And it's super important to remember that if you claim a brand is being diluted, you need actual proof, not just what-if scenarios.
That's really helpful advice. This whole case is a perfect example of how courts try to balance intellectual property rights with freedom of speech. It shows just how important it is to understand the details of trademark law, especially when it comes to things like parodies and satire.
Yeah, it's a great example of how even super serious legal concepts can end up mixing with humor and pop culture in ways you wouldn't expect.
And get this, the court even suggested that parody can sometimes make strong brands even stronger by turning them into cultural icons. What a crazy idea. But before we move on to the next part of this deep dive, is there anything else you think our listeners should keep in mind about this case, especially those who are lawyers?
Well, I think it's really important to remember that even though Chewy Vuitton won, not all parodies are created equal. Whether or not a parody will be successful in court really depends on how it's done.
Great point. Okay, everyone listening, what do you think makes a parody really successful? Where's that line between clever commentary and actually infringing on someone's trademark?
It's kind of wild, right? The court actually said that parody could make a brand stronger. It seems like the opposite of what you'd expect.
It does. How does making fun of a brand make people want it more? That's not usually how it works.
Well, think about it. When a brand gets so big and famous that people start making parodies of it, it means it's really ingrained in our culture. It's something that almost everyone knows and recognizes.
So it's like being parodied means you've made it. You're a cultural icon.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
It means your brand is more than just products or services. It's a phenomenon.
Mm.
It's so recognizable that people can joke about it without it losing its meaning.
Okay, that makes sense. But wouldn't some brands hate that? I mean, a lot of companies are really protective of their image, and they probably wouldn't want anyone making fun of them.
That's true. Some brands are definitely super image conscious, and they might avoid parody at all costs. But what's interesting about this Chewy Vuitton case is that it says having a sense of humor about your brand can actually be a good thing in the long run.
It's like they're saying, we're so strong and confident that we can take a joke.
Exactly. And that confidence can be appealing to customers. It shows that the brand isn't too uptight, which can make people trust them more.
So are you saying that a good parody can actually be like free advertising? It keeps the brand in people's minds and might even make them like it more?
It's definitely possible. Of course, not every parody is going to have that effect, and there are always risks involved. But this case gives us a whole new way to think about parody and how it can help build a brand.
It challenges that old idea that brands should be super serious and protect their trademarks from any kind of mockery.
Yeah, it suggests a more balanced approach, one that recognizes that humor can be a good thing and considers how brands are seen in our overall culture.
This raises an interesting question for our listeners, a lot of whom are lawyers and law students. What are the big takeaways from this case about how intellectual property law interacts with free speech and creative expression?
Well, this case is a really good example of how courts are dealing with the challenges of trademark protection in a world where parody and satire are everywhere. It shows that there needs to be a balance, a line that we have to find.
And this case also shows how important context is when we're talking about trademark infringement and dilution. The same mark used on different products for different people can have totally different legal results.
Exactly. And for lawyers who are giving advice to their clients on these issues, it's crucial to look not just at the legal stuff, but also at the bigger picture. How does this fit into our culture? How will consumers see these parodies? How will they see the brands involved?
Those are great points. So for everyone listening, let's take this conversation a step further. We've seen how parody can sometimes make a brand stronger. But what happens when a parody goes too far? When does humor cross the line and start to hurt a brand's reputation? That's a question we'll dive into after the break. Welcome back, everyone. We've been talking about that Chewy Vuitton case, remember? Where a dog toy company made a parody of Louis Vuitton and actually got away with it. We've talked about how parody can sometimes protect you from trademark infringement and could even make your brand stronger.
Yeah, it's a great example of how the law is always changing to keep up with our culture.
Right. But like we said before, there's another side to this. When does a parody cross the line? When does it actually hurt the brand? Where do we draw that line?
That's the million-dollar question, and there's no easy answer. Figuring out if a parody has gone too far usually means taking it case by case.
So there's no secret formula.
Not really, but we can look at some of the things courts consider when they're trying to decide if a parody is causing harm.
Okay, I'm listening. What are some of those things?
One of the most important things is whether the parody is obvious. If people are confused and think it's a real product from the original brand, that's a bad sign.
So, like in the Chewy Vuitton case, the dog toys were fine because it was super clear they were making fun of Louis Vuitton. They weren't trying to trick people.
Exactly. The humor was obvious, and dog toys are a totally different market from luxury handbags. No one was going to think Louis Vuitton was suddenly making chew tools.
That makes sense. What else do courts look at?
They also pay attention to the type of humor. Is it lighthearted and funny, or is it mean and trying to make the brand look bad?
So, if a parody is too critical, uses bad language, or attacks the brand's values, that could be seen as hurting its reputation.
Exactly. Courts are more likely to protect parodies that are funny and satirical, not ones that are just trying to trash a brand.
Sounds like finding that balance between humor and harm is key.
It is. And it's also really important to think about the brand's target audience. What one group of people thinks is funny might be offensive to another group.
All right. So people making parodies need to be careful about who they're targeting and how the humor might be seen.
Definitely. And if you're not sure, it's always a good idea to talk to a lawyer and make sure you're not crossing any lines.
This whole deep dive has been amazing. Who knew that dog toys could lead us to this whole conversation about trademark law and parody?
It just goes to show that the law is constantly changing to keep up with our world. What's considered funny changes over time, and the law needs to change too.
Well said. So for all our listeners out there who might be thinking about creating their own parodies, what's the most important advice you would give them?
Be creative, be bold, but most importantly, be smart. Know the rules, think about your audience, and make sure your parody is obviously a parody. Humor is a powerful tool, but you have to use it responsibly.
That's great advice. And that wraps up our deep dive into the Chewy Vuitton case. We hope you've enjoyed this journey into the world of trademark law parody and that fine line between protecting brands and encouraging creativity.
It was great being here.
Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp and don't forget to have a sense of humor. Thanks for listening.